Yesterday at the men's meeting, we have a men's meeting every second Saturday in the month, and we meet at 10 o'clock at our house. We discuss the subject of what our purpose is on earth, and of course, Betty's response was, to serve women. But you know, that's absolutely true, at least in part. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for her. So there, it's in the Bible. Before we dig into the subject, let's take a quick look at the three main attributes of God. That's important because we have to realize that whatever has happened, it's because God is omniscient. That means all-knowing. Omnipresent, he's everywhere present. He's never not anywhere. And he's omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. God wants us. He wants us. He wants our life. He wants us to be in a relationship with him. And that is number one, the relationship with God. You know, number two, in order to come into a relationship, we must have some kind of communication. Husbands, you know, that's good. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave his life for us, for her, and that's what we are supposed to do in our life too. But also, how do we have this relationship with God? Well, we study his word, we listen to his word, we pray, and we worship, don't we? And it's so important to pray. And we owe this to God because of Jesus' ultimate sacrifice at Calvary. So the question is, why am I here? Why was I born? What does life matter? And what is my purpose? Well, people have been asking this question from the beginning of time. Even Eve said she was insecure about her relationship with Adam and whether her life had any meaning. And Adam constantly reassured her and said, you're the only woman for me. There's no one else but me. Trust me. You're the only one. And she was. Well, the first question of existence, Jeremiah 20:18, he finds his lament. Jeremiah was a pretty sad guy, and he said, why was I born? Was it only to have trouble and sorrow and to end my life in disgrace? Well, I read this entire passage, and Jeremiah was emotionally lost. He was a prophet, but he was a messenger of doom. His friends betrayed him, and his enemies were behind him 24/7. Even a prophet can have doubts about what they're supposed to do in their life. Well, I think many of us who are now retired can relate to this. Retirement is a major shift, isn't it? I don't know what that's all about yet, and I probably will never know what that's all about. It's a shift in life's priorities, going from a 9-to-5 job or an 8-to-8 job. So many I know have had these jobs that were, you were only paid for 9-to-5, but you would work 12 hours a day. Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, often preaches on this topic. And one of the modern-day philosophers said, My life has a superb cast, but I don't know the plot. I can't figure it out. Another one put it this way, I hope life isn't a joke. Isn't a joke because I don't get it. Well, the human race has been unable to get it right for 6,000 years. Finally, God gave up on humanity. Remember, he wiped out all humanity with Noah and the flood. Started right over, right where they were before, sinning again. Moses went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And what did the Israelites do? They built a golden calf because they missed God. So they built a golden calf and started to worship the golden calf. Some people answer the question by falling into materialism and begin to spending their entire lives on Best Buy, the QVC channel, eBay, gadgets, things, hedonism, pleasure, sex, drugs, whatever, to find some kind of purpose in life. We know some people like that. Even our wisest man in the Bible, King Solomon, fell prey to that as well. He went down that road. Rock stars and movie stars and many people end their lives in disgrace, and very often are found choked to death. If you ever read through Rick Warren's popular mega hit, The Purpose-Driven Life, you'll discover by the second chapter a huge paradigm shift. The whole argument is turned around. We are not here for any purpose of ours. We're not here because of our purpose. Not at all. I was created for God's purpose. He put us here for His reasons, His purposes, to meet His goals and objectives, not ours. Listen to Proverbs 16. The Lord has made everything for His own purpose. God's word tells us that we're here not because of an accident, not because of some atoms coming together at the Big Bang and then little molecules came together and made a single cell organism, and that became a fish, and they crawled on land and became a monkey and then finally become a man. No, that's not why we're here. God planned us with a purpose. He planned everything about you. He knew exactly when you would be born. He knows you so well. He knows you far better than anybody else could know you. But there are things that happen in our life. Sometimes good things come to us and sometimes bad things. Babies come into the world every day that are not under God's perfect will. We have freedom of choice, and God has His loving will, and we do have the enemy, Satan, that comes between us and God, that changes us, that moves us around, that changes us and makes us do things that we shouldn't be doing. But now let's get to the heart of why we're here. It's very simple. Ephesians 1:4 says, long before He laid down earth's foundation, He had us in His mind and settled on us as the focus of His love to be made whole and holy by His love. We have been in the mind of God forever. How important is that? We don't have a beginning and an end of our life, do we? We've been in the mind of God even before the universe was created. God has been around forever, and so have you in the mind of God. And here this time on earth, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, sometimes only 12 hours, like my first daughter. Sometimes we have a little tiny space of when we're actually in the human body. God made us in order that we could be the object of His divine love. God made us so that He could love us, as we sang the hymn, How Great Thou Art. Because He has put us here on earth, but look at the expanse of infinity that we will exist forever. Does my life matter? What we do, does that matter? Does that matter at all? Chapter 49 in Jeremiah says, my work all seems so useless. I spend my strength for nothing and for no purpose at all. During World War II, the Nazis had concentration camps, and there was one of the concentration camps that had a building that was blown up by a bomb, and there's a bunch of rubble way down one side of the concentration camp, and the Nazi Gestapos would make the people in the concentration camp and the prisoners move all the rubble from one side of the concentration camp to the other. And then the next day they move it back again. And the next day they move it back again. So their life became very insignificant. What were they doing? There was no purpose. Many of them got suicidal and tried to have themselves killed by jumping in front of the Gestapo guards to get shot. To live a life without purpose is worse than death. Is without significance. So do we matter? Well, God made us because He wanted something to love. He wanted His children. Just like a mother and a father have babies to love, God has our children, and that's us. Look at Isaiah 44. I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. And God piles the good news on us. His investment in us is for eternity. Everybody here lives for eternity. Psalm 33 says, His plans endure forever. His purposes last eternally. God says to each of us, you were made forever. That speaks volumes about our worth, doesn't it? If God thinks so much of each one of us, How little you might think of yourself, God thinks mightily of you. And on our wedding day, we say, for as long as we both shall live, as long as we both are here, I will love you that long. The essence of the Christian marriage isn't always that easy, but it's worth doing because we commit to each other. We make a commitment, and that's what God has done to us. He has made a commitment to love us from the beginning of time to the end of time, but there is no beginning and no end is there. Well, there are five purposes that I see for us being here on earth. Five real purposes: to worship God. We do that in the congregation on Sunday morning between 10 and 11. We worship God. But actually, worship should be every day. Every day we should worship Him in our minds and in our hearts, in the way we live, in the way we present ourselves to people. Fellowship is another one. Fellowship with our Christian friends, but also fellowship in our prayer with God. And as I've said so many, many times, don't always talk to God nonstop. Listen. Stop and listen. Discipleship. Discipleship is for everyone. It's not just for disciples, because we are disciples, aren't we? Disciple is to show people what the life with Christ and being a Christian is all about. Also, the fourth one is ministry, to use our gifts, whatever gifts they are, to reach out to those who need to be touched by God. And sometimes it's as simple as being nice to the unlovable. How great is that? Because that is so impressive to people when they see you being nice to the unlovable. And the fifth one is to help the church reach out to others through missions. Perhaps the only way you can really help the poor is through your tithes. And we do tremendous work in this world through our tithes and the ministry and missions. All of these are designed with the idea that we're going to live for eternity, and God gives us this time on earth to proclaim His word. We will be God's love, God's eternity. Rick Warren says, this is kindergarten. This is just learning about life. This is preschool. This is spring training. C.S. Lewis says, our life here on earth is just one small step, one misstep as we start out, one tiny stumble. But then there's a glorious journey ahead of us, which is so important. Our whole life is just that first baby step. The United States of America has existed for almost 250 years. How long are we going to exist? 250 billion years, trillion years, quadrillion years, or whatever the tetra, whatever they are, years, you never know. I like what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:1. When this tent we live in, our body here on earth, is torn down, God will have a house in heaven for us to live in, a home He Himself has made, which will last forever. Talk about construction. God's construction is forever, and He makes a home for each one of us. God tells us He's eager to have us with us, to have us living in His presence. Each one of us. It's hard to imagine. Somebody said it yesterday at the men's meeting. How can God have all these people in His mind? Well, God can do that. He can have everybody in His mind. You are hugely significant. Proverbs 9:6 says, leave your impoverished confusion and live and walk up the street to a life with meaning. What is my purpose? King David, the great king, said to God one day in Psalm 89, why did you create us? For nothing? Even King David had these doubts. Well, we've seen some of these atheists that shake their fist at God and say, you don't exist. God is dead. Bertrand Russell, one of the renowned atheists of our last generation, confessed in these words, unless you assume the existence of God, the question of life's meaning and purpose is irrelevant. Even an atheist said, I guess there must be God. He came to that conclusion finally in his life. Atheism takes away the significance of life. How could we have any significance if there's no God? Ask the one who made us. You have to go to the owner's manual of life, which is the Bible, of course. Go to the Word of God, and it says, "In the beginning, God created us." And Proverbs 9, and chapter 9 says, "Knowing God results in every other kind of understanding." He wants to love us. I find my purpose in life by placing my life in front of Him and say, "What do you want me to do, God? And I want to listen to you and see what you have to say." Our scriptures today, I'm going to read them again, and thanks, Patty, for reading them, are short but sweet. "For everything, absolutely everything, above and beyond and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him." In Ephesians 1:11, it says, "It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone." It's in Christ we find out our meaning, because in Christ we have been saved from our sin and we have salvation. As I learn the Word of God through prayer and through worship and through service, I find out that I love the Christian message more every day. If we know God's purpose for us, then we know that we can get to know Him. Here's the last thing. You might be a Christian, born and bred. You might know it already, or you might be new to this, or you might be on the fringes, looking in, kind of trying to figure this whole thing out. You might be called a stumbler who kind of stumbles through life. I know I've had that experience myself too, on occasion. No matter where we are on the spectrum, God has something special for you. Whoever you are, whether you're a baby Christian or a seasoned Christian, God has something great for you. If you're a secret, just check it out. Just see what it's all about. Come and see, because the Lord is good. If you've been crashing and burning in your life, just come home. As I said many times, our church is a body shop for damaged Christians. Come in and get that body back in shape again. God has a special place of honor for prodigal sons and daughters. He has a special place just for those who need it the most. Prodigal sons and daughters. And Acts 10:35 says, St. Paul wrote this and said, "It makes no difference who you are." I'm sorry, St. Luke wrote this. "It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and you're ready to do as He says, the door is open." Sometimes we look at life and say, all the doors are shut. Come to God and He will open the doors for you.